It's good to have you here today. As you know, if you've been with us, we're about to plunge into the three temptations of Christ given to him by the devil in the wilderness and recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel at chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Thus far, we have dealt with verses 1 and 2. What I want to do today is to read the entire passage and then give you three realities about temptation from what we will read in verses 3 through 10. Consider this a valuable overview. Then, as we move throughout this week, we will examine the first temptation and go from there. Let's see how far we can get. Is this all right with you? Yes? Okay, good. If you have your Bible there, accessible to you, pick it up, open it, and read along with me. If not, hear now God's word to you. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus into the holy city and had Jesus stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to Jesus, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to the devil, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left Jesus, and behold, angels came and began to minister to Jesus. This is God's holy and matchless word to you from Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 through 11. As I reflect on what's now before us, I see at least three realities regarding temptation. There are more, but I want to give you these three key ones. And I'm going to put them to you this way. Temptation strikes us the hardest when, first, we have had some spiritual success. Second, when we are tired and hungry. And third, when we underestimate the devil's determination. And I'll repeat these now and remind you of them as we proceed. Ready? Temptation strikes us the hardest when first, we have had some spiritual success. Second, when we are tired and hungry. And third, when we underestimate the devil's determination. I'm going to post these on Facebook to God Is, W-E-Z-E. That's God Is, W-E-Z-E. Look for them on Facebook or write to me for them. And now, let me show you where in the text I see these three realities. First, temptation strikes us the hardest when we have had some spiritual success. This insight comes from the transition from Matthew chapter 3 to Matthew chapter 4, and again in verse 2 of Matthew 4. Remember, if you will, the great spiritual success that Jesus experienced as he emerged from the waters of baptism in Matthew 3. When we studied Matthew 3 on this broadcast and podcast, I said that I believe Jesus was fully immersed under the waters of the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Then, as the Lord comes out of the water, listen to Matthew 3, verses 16 through 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." With a loud and clear voice from the heavens, God the Father commissioned Jesus the Son into public ministry. As we learned, God declared Jesus the one and only Messiah and Savior of the world. Jesus is the only way to God. These verses prove a great victory over Satan and his demons. Jesus is now, 29 years and a little bit after his birth, prepared and ready to begin the ministry of God in human flesh. Jesus will redeem sinners from Satan's grip, and the devil is distraught. What a crushing blow the baptism of Jesus and the voice of God from the heavens is for Satan and the kingdom that he has been building on earth. Jesus walks away from the Jordan River, commissioned by God. Wow. This has the evil one shaking in his wretched being. Furthermore, following the baptism, we learn in verse 2 of Matthew 4, which I read for us earlier, that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 2 says specifically, "And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights." Now, what do you think Jesus was doing while he was out in the vast wilderness by himself without food and drink? Yes, he was fasting, but what else? He was in communion with God, his heavenly Father. Jesus was praying. This was a long time of waiting on God Almighty. Jesus doesn't rush it. The Father doesn't speed this period along, kind of, "Come on, my son, let's get on with it now. You've been commissioned, now get after the ministry I gave you." Not yet. First, they commune together for longer than a month. And when we follow Jesus' example and that kind of sweet and deep fellowship with God, wow, we will really know and feel spiritual success. In fact, the reason so few of us know spiritual success is because we do not spend extended periods of time in walking with our Lord and listening to what he wants to say to us through his word. Briefly, this application: you want to know what it means to have success spiritually in your heart and soul? Then commune with God in silence and solitude for 40 days and 40 nights. Now you say, "That's not realistic. I've got to work, man." But trust me, God is realistic. Jesus is realistic. The Spirit of God is realistic. And the reality is, we've all got the time. You could, for example, start with this: use the hours you are not on the job to pray, to fast some food or some activity, and to read and think hard on the Bible. Those hours and those days will add up and give you a real sense for what spiritual success looks and feels like. My point today is this: after his commissioning by God and after 40 days and 40 nights in communion with God in the wilderness, Jesus had accomplished great victory over the devil. And then temptation strikes the Lord, fast and hard. Boom! There is the devil, right there. In verse 3 of Matthew 4, "And the tempter came and said to Jesus," and I suggest to you, the devil does the same with us. Let me give you an example from personal experience. But be thinking about this in your own life, dear Christian. As a pastor, do you know what was the day and time when the devil regularly came hardest after me? If you're thinking Sunday afternoons, then you are correct. Sunday mornings, I poured out my heart and soul, preaching and teaching God's word with much passion to a community of his people with some unbelievers present in our midst. Having prepared for this diligently all week, I unleashed what the Spirit of God had taught me on the people of God. And very often there, by the grace and mercy of God, would be spiritual success. Examples of this: men and women, as well as teenagers, growing in their faith, pressing on to maturity in Christ. Conversions as people put their faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. Baptisms. And counseling with members of the congregation that really helped them navigate very real and scary problems in marriage and family and career. Success, not because of me, but in spite of me. I am only the messenger, but Jesus, he is the master minister. And I would come home absolutely thrilled, praising God, rejoicing. I'm an emotional being, so I wear my emotions on my sleeve. My wife and I would together celebrate these spiritual victories. And then the tempter would come to me. Temptation strikes hardest after spiritual success. And I had to engage in the spiritual warfare that ensued. And that battle would last until at least Monday morning, sometimes into Monday evening. The devil despises God, and he will not let spiritual success be the end of the story. No, Satan presses in hard against the pastor Sunday afternoons and evenings. Ask any pastor and spiritual leader this, and they will say it's true. But we take comfort and courage from Jesus Christ. Our master teacher shows us and will show you exactly what to do, how to handle temptations in battle with the devil. The devil must destroy, at least in our thinking, what God has been doing all Sunday morning long. And he knows if he can get us to fall into temptation, to think and to do that which he goads us into doing, then he will have snatched the victory away from God. He is a tricky devil. This is my experience with him. And this does not only apply to people like me. This applies to every Christian out there. This applies to you. When you have some kind of spiritual success, watch out. The devil lies in wait, just as he was doing in Matthew 4, verse 3. Temptation strikes hardest after spiritual success. Has this also been your experience? If so, I want you to continue to be here in the days that follow this one, because when we move down through the temptations Satan gave to Jesus, we will see how Jesus handled them. And that will teach us what to do when the devil comes calling following spiritual success of some kind. Do not lose heart. And if in the past you've given in to temptation, as I sometimes do, remember to confess that sin to Jesus and invite him to do what he promises to do. Forgive our sin and forget it. As Christians, this is our pathway to freedom from the burden of sin. Christ's forgiveness. It's awesome. Today we have discussed the first of three realities concerning temptation. Tomorrow we're going to pick up here and come to the second one. We're getting deep into Matthew 4, 1 through 11 now, and this continues next time right back here on God Is.